Now, our third reading comes from chapter 6, page 75 of our big book, Into Action is the chapter. And I'll read that out before we introduce our last chair. So it's, we pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone, at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. From chapter 6, Into Action, page 75. And I'd now like to introduce to you all my friend Bill C. from Torrance, California. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Jody. Good to see you.
And you.
Bill, alcoholic. Well, I would never get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and listen to a fifth step, ever. I'm just not that spiritual. And it's nice to be able to follow Kenny, because then I can correct some of the stuff that he said. And it's really good to be here. It's good to be in Australia. Matter of fact, the last amazing trip that we had down there was last year, and now we're all locked down, so at least I have that memory. It's such a wonderful time out there with you people. This journey that we're on, it says in our book that the only thing that's going to keep me sober is my spiritual condition. So evidently what we're after is to get some kind of spiritual condition. When I got here at 37 years old, I had the emotional development of maybe a 16-year-old, and this kid was not an honor student. He's not the one that's mature beyond his years. You know, I'm here. I look grown up. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'5", and I'm a big guy, and I look grown up, but I'm not. I'm emotionally immature. And like most of us who started drinking in our teenage years, some of us a little earlier, and when all the lessons were being handed out, I was loaded. I missed the lessons. And I drank and used for about 22 or 23 years, and I get here at 37, and I'm a mess. You know, you've taken away my medication, and now I'm stuck with me. Is there a spiritual condition in that creature? Not much. And the way that manifests itself, usually you can tell when somebody doesn't have much of a spiritual condition, how immaturity presents itself, and it's always someone else's fault. I have no compassion. I can't feel you in my life, and I don't know that. I can't stand outside myself and have a separate experience and then determine that there's something wrong. How would...
Are you there, Bill?
It won't. There it is. I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
Ah, there you are. All right, well, it's just you and me at the moment, mate. We've got a couple of hundred people having to come back in. The whole thing crashed on us. The good news is I pressed pause, so I know how much time you got left.
I'm just well, it says we got 501 down here.
Yeah, well, it's starting to build up again, mate. We actually all got kicked out of Zoom. Unfortunately, 530 people decided to text me and let me know that. So,
me too.
Mate, I've just got to find a couple of people that I need to make co-hosts again, and then we'll be able to move forward. Okay, we got you back, Jody.
Yes, I'm back.
Hey, how you going? Hi. Welcome back. Did you enjoy the break?
It was lovely. The music was delightful. Thank you.
All right, the immature thing. Yeah. I remember that. You want me to go ahead?
Please.
Okay. Evan, I have the emotional development of a 16-year-old, and what's going to happen in sobriety now is I'm going to grow up. And one of the primary manifestations of self-centeredness or egocentricity is lack of compassion. There's no room in my life for really anybody else. I can't really connect with you. And in order for me to maintain this kind of life, it's got to be someone else's fault. And everything that's happening is happening to me. Everything's personal. And I have to come back from this. I have to come out of this. And the process of the steps is designed brilliantly to create that kind of transformation. Now, the first step says that we're powerless, and they just said that we were powerless over alcohol because they didn't want us to run screaming down the street. And I think the evidence is astounding as I go down this road, 35 years, that I am absolutely powerless over everything. There's nothing that I seem to have any control or power over. And it's a very, very a sticky situation. I will assert myself, and it'll work some of the time, and it keeps me hooked in. But in an interpersonal relationships, it's really pathetic, because you have to change in order for me to be okay. In all my relationships are of this nature. And I talk to you, and you absolutely refuse. I explain to you, if you were a little bit different, both of us would be a hell of a lot happier. And you absolutely insist upon living your own life, and it pisses me off at my core. So you look at the geopolitical situation in the world today, clearly I have no control over that, and I don't like the way it is. I don't like the way, and so what? It stays the same. I don't like it. I argue about it. I rave about it. I complain to anybody that'll listen to me, and it stays the same, and I suffer. And this is the situation throughout my life. Sober, it's like this. So I get sober. I grasp the powerlessness just enough over the drugs and alcohol. In my particular case, it was very apparent. It was very obvious. Mental institutions, some jails, lots of trouble, broken marriages, blameless children, all of that was happening in my life. So I'm powerless. I get that. If I can get that, the second step then becomes operational. It's a logical thought progression. I need to be restored to sanity, enough sanity not to drink and use, but enough sanity to see the powerlessness. And this has to come from some other power other than me, because I'm powerless. I'm obvious about it. If I'm going to not drink and stuff, then I have to tap into something. And for many of us, maybe even most of us, AA becomes that. I sit in the rooms, I see all of you sitting there with the same problem. I hear the stories. I'm brand new, but I hear the stories. These people are not drinking. That seems to be a power greater than myself. Something happens. If I can grasp that just a little bit, if I can get that, then the third step becomes operational. And the third step's interesting. It says, I'm going to turn my life and will over. I'm going to make a decision to turn my life and will over to what already has it anyway. I think it was nice of them to lead us to believe that we actually have some say in the matter, that there's a real decision here that can be made. And I've been withholding myself from the totality of all things long enough. I'm going to acquiesce now and allow you to take me. Thank you very much. Where's my trophy? So what life and will is this third step talking about that I'm supposedly going to turn over as if I'm holding on to it, and there's a difference between my will and God's will, and I'm doing a battle of wills with the power that drives the entire universe, and now I'm going to surrender and give up this grasp I have on my life. What life is it talking about? It's the inventory. It's the end result of living a life with seeming power. The end result of a life like that is certainly resentment, because things are not going well, and it's your fault. You are the problem in my life. It's my father, it's my mother, it's my ex-wife, it's those assholes, it's the bully that chased me in high school, it's the teacher that slapped me in the face, it's all those people, that's my list. Some people say that this inventory is hard to do. How can it possibly be hard? When you lay down at night, it just grinds and grinds. It's always there, right in the forefront. It's easy. It's easy to list them. We all know who they are. Matter of fact, you can't be an alcoholic if you don't know who they are. We all know who they are. It's the government, it's cops, it's authority figures of any kind. Anybody, anywhere that ever tried to get me to do something or complained about my behavior, anybody, that whole list, it's there it is. It's fear because self-reliance has failed me and I have no plan B. So there's fear. And like any other wannabe tough guy, a men like of my ilk, we cover up fear with bravado and loudness and anger and rage. And I had rage. I suffered from rage from a young boy. So I have fears. I have lots of fears. And if what I'm bringing to the table in any kind of relationship is resentment and fear, what could it be other than dramatic and traumatic? So we list those people. Those women, in my case, that I had a sexual relationship with, we list it. So there's the inventory. This is the end result of living a life with seeming power, is I have resentment, fears, and broken relationships. And I list that. Now, one thing about the fourth step, when you're new in Alcoholics Anonymous, the fourth step is important enough to do poorly. Just do it. Because if you're going to stick around here, you're going to do another one, and then another one. And the one you do at 5 years will be much more comprehensive than the one you do at 6 months. You know, the one you do at 10 years will kill you. And what are we looking for in this inventory? If I'm going to develop a spiritual condition, what's it going to be? Rule number one, to get any kind of a spiritual condition. The whole process is disidentification with self. Letting go of the structure, the egoic structure I've created about who I think I am and how I have to defend that in this war called life. Rule number one. Rule number one is I have to take responsibility for my own life. I cannot any longer continue to blame other people for my problems. Because if they're the problem, there is no solution. Right? Rule number one. I've got to take responsibility. So what we're looking for is in that fourth column of the resentment list, right? Or depending upon what Talmudic school you come from, the extended third column or the fourth column, or the maniacs that have 7, 8, 9, 10 columns, you know, and it takes you 15 fucking years to do the goddamn thing, you know? You know, whatever it is, we're looking for that column that says, what are my faults and mistakes? It doesn't say what was my part. You know, there may not be a part. Maybe I was an innocent victim. You know, maybe I was molested as a kid. Not my story, but many others. You know, and if I'm 40 years old, I'm still carrying around that resentment. At the bare minimum, I'm unforgiving. And the perpetrator doesn't feel my anger. I do. And this is about freedom, about letting go of that. So we're looking for the fourth column. We're looking for my faults and mistakes. The first inventory I did, I was about 5 months sober, maybe six. And I did that inventory. Was it thorough? No. Was it honest? Yes. It couldn't be thorough. I didn't know enough to be thorough. How would I know? I have no distance from the events. I'm newly sober. You know, the one that I did at 5 years, the one I did at 10 years was really pretty thorough. You know? So I got 5 minutes. Don't I get special compensation because the whole internet caved in on me?
You did. I
got 3 hours worth of material, you know? So anyway, when I did that fifth step with that sponsor at 6 months sober, he told me to go be quiet for an hour, reflect on what I'd done. If there's anything I left out, give him a call, you know? And, you know, there's no category for the deep, dark secrets in that inventory. But we created one, didn't we? Usually at the end of it, I'll say to a guy like what was said to me, is there anything that you're not going to tell me that you should tell me now? And he asked me that question, and I told him. You know, I told him. It wasn't anything magnificent. It was just one of those stinky things that it is who we think we are. You know, that secret that I never told any of the therapists. That secret. And I went home. He said, think about the person that walks through that door today compared to the guy that walked through that door. Thought about that, and I had an experience. And what that experience was is, it's going to be like this now. I wasn't really sure what this was, but I knew the old life was over. I just knew. It was a knowingness that transcends the intellect. It's going to be like this now. So far, it's proven to be like this now. Everything changed then. Very subtle, though. Very subtle. I said the first prayer I've ever said in AA that day. You know, I couldn't say one before, but I said one. I didn't even believe in anything. That's another thing. You don't have to believe anything to be an Alcoholics Anonymous. God is an experience, not a concept. Doesn't require belief, just awareness. You know, it's an experience. Don't waste a lot of time trying to come up with a construct. Don't worry about creating a personal relationship with a power greater than yourself. God, by its very nature, is impersonal. And your ego, my ego, wants to have its own personal relationship, preferably one that's better than yours. You know? All there is that. And this process, this program, is centered around creating a spiritual condition that will keep you sober, maybe for the rest of your life. And it'll do a hell of a lot more than keep you sober. It'll give you a purpose. It'll change who you are. And in the further steps that you'll hear the rest of this weekend, the transformation begins at the ninth step. The inventory is the doorway. And I'll tell you this, I'll leave you with this. The best fifth step that you'll ever participate in is the first one you listen to. It's more important than the one you do. The one you listen to, when you start doing that, that's the one that will change your life. That's the one that will develop the compassion. That's the one that'll open the door to you ridding yourself of whatever concept of who you think you are. The teachers are sent to us. We think we're the teachers. The teachers are sent to us. They're the ones that open the door. Thank you so much for letting me share with you this weekend.